going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Brad, we thought the Cubbies were going to be the real litmus test for the Giants, and it turned out that it is the streaking Minnesota Twins, winners of like, what, 7 or 8 in a row or something like that. They swept the Giants in Minnesota to put a negative slant on what we thought was going to be a promising road trip there.
I didn't want to jinx it on the last show, but I kind of felt that one coming. That's one of those weird, you know, American League team you don't see very often. You only see them once a year now with a new schedule. Go up into Minnesota. It's still kind of chilly. Lots of travel going from Chicago to Minnesota. Even though you had an off day, it was just one of those weird ones. But you know what? They get swept. And in 3 games, they lose by a total of 4 runs. So, I mean, it's not like they were blown out or anything. They're in every game. You know, it was just kind of a tough road swing. And then, you know, the Ryan Walker issue, got to talk about that. You know, what are we going to do with our closer situation going forward? Was it really that bad of an outing yesterday on Sunday? Anytime you get a Manfred runner in extra innings, you're liable to give up that run. It's really easy to give up that run.
What is the percentage of that run scoring? Do we know?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. I'm not sure.
I always think it's unfortunate when the guy who gives up that run gets the run on his ERA because he didn't put the guy there.
Right. Yeah, it should be an unearned run, and why it's an earned run, I have no idea. You know,
the one thing you started about Ryan Walker, and we can just talk about this quickly. The one thing I didn't like is when Melvin went back to him on the second day. I guess it would have been the third Cubs game, and he actually got the game, and he said, my manager, something to the effect of, my manager had more faith in me than I had in me. And I'm like, I don't like that as a closer.
I don't want to put that out. Yeah, I don't want to put that out in the Giants universe.
Well, so here's the thing. And we kind of talked about this yesterday as we were trying to figure out, you know, what was Walker's fault. And I think I'm like the solution, or not the solution, but the whole thing that kind of bubbled up, the epiphany that I had was, the Giants have 3 guys who are excellent in the 7th and the 8th inning. Tyler Rogers, Duvall, and Ryan Walker. Those guys are perfect for that. And they don't have the guy who's like got the personality to just shut the game down in the 9th inning. And I don't know if you are that, or do you become that, or do you inherit that? Whatever makes up a closer, it doesn't seem like either of those 3 guys have that, whatever that thing is. But you know who might have it, but is probably overpaid because he is in the starting rotation, is Jordan Hicks. Like, he actually might have that, but they're paying him to be a starter, and so thus they're giving him this opportunity to start, which, you know, we'll talk about that as kind of our first topic. whether or not they should continue this experiment, or if they don't even think it's an experiment. They're like, no, he's in the rotation. This is who he is. And like, I looked at his starts. He's actually been at the 100 pitch level or more in two of his last three starts. So it seems like he is kind of growing into this, with the legs and everything. But his statistics are not fantastic. And I don't even know what the record is, but I don't feel like the Giants are successful when he's on the mound. Unlike someone like Robbie Ray, where they win every single one of his starts because he keeps them in the ballgame on every single one.
Yeah. Just an FYI, Josh Hader is getting paid $7 million more a year than Jordan Hicks to be a closer. So you can make him a closer.
Well, Well, I guess I would say for a guy who has not done it before, he's getting paid to start. And if you pay him to be the closer, he has to prove it. He could be like those other guys being in the seventh and the eighth inning. But I do wonder if you go like, maybe he's just a closer, like not even a long reliever. Maybe he's just the closer. He throws the hardest on the team, and his sinker dives off the TV. But you know, yeah. when I was in high school, I was messing around with finger pressure on pitches and stuff. Oh, and like I had to pitch a decent amount when I was a senior, not overpowering in any way, but I was like, hey, you think I should put a little sink on the fastball? Cause I'm throwing a lot of pitches and I have to strike guys out to get, you know, and he's like, no, because your defense sucks.
Get the strikeouts.
They're going to hit the ball on the ground and the defense is not going to pick it up. And so every time I think about Jordan Hicks, that's kind of in my mind, which is he has electric stuff, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he's a sinker baller. And so what he's getting killed on is ground balls that have eyes. Like that kills him. It's just, some of it is luck, and if the fielding independent pitching statistic is kind of good for this. If this is your argument, which is, you know, no one's hitting this dude over the fence, they're not raking him, they're not pissing on his fastball, you know, they're not driving him everywhere. What they're doing is they're trying to make contact, and the ball has eyes when they're hitting it, and he throws it hard, so they may hit it. You know, even if they don't hit it solid, it may have some steam on it. But like you saw his most recent start, and it was like, oh yeah, you know, 2 feet away from the second baseman, you know, about a foot and a half away from Adames's backhand, in between the hole between third and short. Like that's where all those balls were going. So the argument for Jordan Hicks to stay in the rotation is like, some of that stuff may even out. His stuff is too good to not at least try it. And then the argument on the opposite side is, well, what happens when he pitches? Do the Giants win or lose? So it's an interesting argument. Where are you on this Jordan Hicks argument?
I mean, when you say when he pitches, do the Giants win or lose? I mean, if you sometimes with this offense, if you give up three runs and you're a pitcher, and most other teams are going to do all right, but the Giants are, you know, score two runs here, next game one run, next game eight runs. Then go back to scoring one run, two runs, three runs. So that's a tough argument. This offense is so schizophrenic. I don't even know where to go with that one. But when you look at his FIP, and you were talking about FIP, his FIP right now is 3.18 right now, and that's below his career average. So his FIP looks pretty good.
And just I think most people know what that is if they listen to us, but just in case, take out everything out of the pitcher's control. FIP, mm-hmm. FIP is all about strikeouts, walks, home runs,
hit by pitch,
all those things that is in the pitcher's control. So it, you know, base hits wherever the defense lies, like that's kind of out of the pitcher's control. And and so that's where that stat comes from. So what that stat is trying to say is, you know, if all things were created equal, how should he deal? And his FIP is like a almost two runs lower than his actual ERA, which should tell you that he may not be pitching as bad as his numbers say.
Yeah, and the opposite. If his FIP was 3.18, but his ERA was 1.75, then you could expect that to even out.
There's some luck on his side when the ball gets put in play.
So right now there's no luck on his side. You know, and it's a tough one. He does have 33 career saves. He was fighting for the closer spot with the Cardinals, you know, back pre-COVID and then right after COVID. So him as a closer is not completely out of the question. Does he want that job? I don't know. But like you said, he's got the attitude for it. Does Landon Roop have the attitude for it? I don't think so. But with Jordan Hicks,
but he's too valuable is Harrison. Yeah.
Harrison could be a nasty closer, but
he's
got
that bulldog mentality.
You don't want to shorten that guy up.
No.
I mean, we're trying to lengthen him out right now because of Jordan Hicks and because of Landon Roop. So it's tough. I mean, it's a tough situation. I was ready to, you know, the other day I texted our Giants group and I said, you know, this could be it for Jordan Hicks in the rotation. But then when you take a deep dive into those numbers, I'm going to pull up his, where is it? A StatCast page. A lot of blue, which, you know, in StatCast is not great, but he does have some reds. His fastball velo is 91st percentile. It's bright red. His barrel percentage, 4.6% barrel percentage. And so hitters are only barreling him up 4.6% of the time. And his career average is 5.7. So he's below that. Last year it was 9.4. I mean, that probably jumped up when he was starting to leave stuff up and get tired later in the year. But in 2023, it was 5.4. Going back to 2019 was the only time it was lower at 4.5. So he's not getting barreled up. His ground ball percentage, like we just talked about, 95th percentile, 60.8 is his ground ball percentage. What else was I looking at today? His K percentage is up from last year just by a touch, 1%. His walk percentage is 2 percentage points down from last year. His career is 11.4% walk percentage. He's at 7.9 this year. So, I mean, when you're deep diving into the metrics and looking at all of that stuff, you're saying, oh, if he could just have that start where everything falls into place. And I wouldn't say he gets lucky or this. I would just say if he has one of those starts where things are normal, that's great. You know, then he's going to have a good outing. He's going to go 7 innings. Barely walks anybody right now, and he's probably going to go 7 innings, get 10 to 12 strikeouts, give up 2 runs. But again, with this Giants offense, is 2 runs enough? You know, it's kind of frustrating to watch sometime. But I say if anybody's going to lose their spot in the pitching rotation, it's going to be Roop. But that's for another podcast. That's for another time, because these guys, I have a feeling, are going to continue to get the starts. Now, they're starting to already tinker with the batting order, and we'll talk about that later, because today is the first real tinker of the batting order that we've seen other than Yaz going to the leadoff spot. You know, and who came out of the leadoff spot? Who was in the leadoff spot early in the season and they pulled him out?
I think it was Wade.
Yeah, it was Lamont Wade Jr. And they yanked him out of the leadoff spot, and it's been Yaz and Elliot Ramos pretty much most of the time. But going back to Jordan Hicks, I want to see him continue to get the starts. I want to see him continue to attack the zone like he's been doing. I mean, this is his biggest attack the zone season he's had in a while. So we just need to see the results. And I don't think you can blame his current 5+ ERA on him at the moment, looking at all the metrics.
The metrics are probably going to look pretty good on him, because he's going to get strikeouts and he's going to get bad contact in some ways. Now, the walks are what also haven't been great for him. But we're not going to do the Roop thing, but I did want to mention you can, you know, this, and this is statistics in general. You can kind of look at the Roop stuff and have your own thoughts on whether or not a lot of this is his fault or the Giants. Now, you know, you had those two starts in Minnesota. Even Webb kind of got screwed there because he pitched so well. And then Elio gets picked off at third. Elio had a great week. There was one play where he gets picked off at third, and he said he doesn't remember that ever happening to him in his entire baseball career, going all the way back to high school. And he had one, like, get dizzy pop up in Chicago because of the windiness of Chicago. But otherwise, he had such a fantastic week. Roop gets the lead out of all the out of the entire week. He's the one guy who gets the lead.
I think give that to Webb, right?
Right. I think they're up 3-0 and 4-2, and that's what he can't hold. And that's where now maybe Birdsong, because he's a young guy as well, or Harrison, he's a young guy as well. That's not maybe what they will do well yet in their early careers, but someone like Verlander or Robbie Ray or Webb, like, you give those guys that lead and they're putting that thing in their back pocket and they're taking it all the way to the eighth and ninth inning.
But what about Birdsong in that type of situation? Because that's where he's come in so far this season. He's come in to bridge the gap in like two or three innings with the lead, and he's been attacking the zone. So I think if you give him that 3-0 lead yesterday, I think it turns out differently, because I think he understands I got to keep this lead because I got to get to the bullpen. And I know Roop understands that, but it just kind of seemed like if the curveball's not working, he's kind of dead in the water, and that's rough to watch sometimes.
Yeah. No, Birdsong does attack, but sometimes these young guys do get caught with their hand in the cookie jar sometimes when things are going really well. And then they start just trying to strike everybody out and stuff. But if it was up to me, and it's not, I'm not Bob Melvin, I would substitute Birdsong for Roop right now. But they look, you know, Roop in their minds, Roop earned it out of spring training. So they're going to give him a shot.
Sure.
And it, look, I like Harrison better than Roop too, at least this version of Harrison. But again, what happened in spring training and what you promised these guys, they are handling it in that way. And you don't want Roop to come out of this thinking like, man, this organization is kind of messing with me. So it's a good problem to have, though. You got three young arms that the Giants really value, all on the big league roster. And you can kind of figure out what you want to do with them this year. They can sort of pave their own way. And maybe in 3 years, this is like, you know, your 2-3-4 in the rotation. And that's what, as much as we want to win every game this year, and the Giants are still 24-17, they're still only three games behind the Dodgers. They're right in the thick of things, even after losing three in a row to Minnesota. What Buster and Friends, remember that show, Buster and Friends?
Yeah.
What Buster and company are doing is they are also looking ahead a couple years. We got Logan Webb dialed in, and he's going to be the ace. And now who do you put behind him? Verlander and Robbie Ray in 3 years, 2 or 3 years, they may not be, you know, in the same spots as they are today. So it's a good problem to have, and I actually like that we can have a conversation about this. And then you add Hicks, who's also fairly young, into this mix, and you're just figuring things out. They will figure it out, and guys will get hurt, other guys will have to come up. You may make a trade. You know, Harrison or Birdsong may just become like a super valuable trade piece, or you just keep them because, you know, in 2 years when they fully develop, they're going to be lights out. At least that's the hope. So that there's a lot of things for Buster Posey's rookie year in this baseball ops position with his GM and with all of his baseball people surrounding him. It's like, this is why you're here, buddy. Like, you got to make tough decisions.
I've got a question for you, though, because Landon Roop has 8 starts now. So two more starts and you're virtually a third through the season of starts, a little bit under a third, because some pitchers can get 33, 35 starts depending on, you know, health. But again, he's never been a full-time starter in the bigs before. So is he even going to get 30 starts? I don't know. So do you cut him off at the 10 start mark? I mean, if he has two more starts like he had yesterday, at that point, do you say, hey, you've had 10 starts, you are only probably going to get 25 max this season. That's only 15 more starts. We're going to plug somebody else in for a couple of starts and see what we can get. Because then maybe you've got Landon Roop at the end of the season who's fresh. Maybe he's coming out of the bullpen, and then you can get him some spot starts later in the season. Do you then say, let's get Birdsong in there and have him start two games and see where we go from there?
I'm looking at Roop's game logs here. Let's put three runs as the cutoff. He's given up three runs or less in four out of his eight starts. He's given up three runs or less. In those other four starts, he's given up 4, 5, 4, and 4. So this goes back to your talk about the offense. The Giants should be competitive in those starts. And because of the offense, sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's like you give up two runs and it's like adios, muchachos. But to give Roop a little bit of credit, theoretically, you give up three runs or less and you're competing and you're giving your team a chance. So half of his starts are doing that. In this scenario with this offense, maybe you need to just be better. So I don't think they're going to take Roop out of the rotation unless he gives them a reason, which is two or three starts in a row where he just doesn't have it. And then maybe you do that whole rest thing, right? You're like, oh, he's got arm fatigue or whatever, and we're going to take him out. But if he is giving you, you know, 5-6 innings and he's giving up three runs or less, I think they're going to keep him in there. And then they're going to continue to maneuver Birdsong and Harrison into spots that they could continue to succeed in. Cause you also want to build up their confidence as well. Mm-hmm. When they are ready to be in the rotation. Let's use this as a transition to the next topic, which is Lamont Wade. So Davis asks, our brother Davis said, could batting leadoff help Bailey because his ABs killed me this past weekend? Patrick Bailey's last season, we would have this joke that every time the Giants have a runner in scoring position and two outs, for some reason, Mike Yastrzemski was at the plate and then he would just strike out. Like that was like the whole thing. This year, it's Bailey. And these ABs are not even all that competitive. And I saw there was one, I think it may have been yesterday, he had count leverage, and it was like, okay, 3-1, and the pitcher was like, you know what, I'm going to throw this pitch right down the middle, because this dude can't hit it, and of course, he fouled it off, and then he popped it up,
slammed his bat. I mean, yeah. There's been a lot of popping it up, slamming the bat. Lately, I've noticed he's at the breaking point. Do I want to see him bat leadoff? Never, ever.
Well, is he currently batting? Batting ninth?
I think he's still batting eighth, because you want like Wisely or Cost, you know, somebody who's got some wheels at least to be kind of the nine hole hitter, so that you've got, you know, turnover back to the top of the lineup. So when you get your guys hitting 1, 2, 3, then, you know, you've got somebody with some wheels on base in front of you. So no, I think he's still batting eighth.
Yeah. That's probably the best spot for him, but it just like, man, the way that the order turns up when they need a hit, he seems like he's the guy who's always coming up in those spots. And then it's just failure time. So I don't know.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Okay, let's talk about Lamont Wade Jr. because he was taken out of the lineup today. Now, we don't know why. I haven't heard why. I'm sure maybe Melvin had some. I don't know if they do a press conference or whatever before the game, but there may have been some commentary about it. Right-handed pitcher Merrill Kelly. People who are listening to the podcast, the game's already probably over. So apologies for something that has already happened, but Lamont Wade Jr. usually is in the lineup against the right-hander, and instead it was Wilmer Flores and it was Luis Matos in the DH spot. So two right-handers against the right-hander. And I could see Melvin saying, hey, you know, Matos hit a home run, you know, early in the Chicago series. We got to see what he has. You need to get him some more at bats. And this is just a opportunity with Wade still struggling. You know, manager speak, you know, trying to turn a negative into a positive. But Lamont Wade Jr. has not like his numbers are almost like not real.
Right.
Because he is currently hitting 146. So what's the Mendoza line, like 210 or the old Mendoza line?
I mean, I think it's just over 200. I mean, and, you know, over time, people have pretty much put it at 200. So
his on base is 246, and that is the exact same as his slugging. So his OPS is currently under 500.
Wow.
And I was trying to figure out, okay, so are there any trends? Are there any sort of splits that might be able to give us any sort of look at, you know, maybe there's a sign, maybe he's actually turning. I mean, if you want to look at May, he's hitting 200 and not 125 like in March and April, like I guess, but he's also getting on base. He's also getting on base less, which actually seems impossible. So that's kind of weird. I read something, McCovey Chronicles. Shout out to McCovey Chronicles. Can you imagine doing a baseball blog for as long as McCovey Chronicles has been doing it?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's one of those things that I remember going back in the early days of trying to find Giants content online. That was like the place to go if you weren't reading the Mercury News or anything else.
Yeah. So they had a stat. I should have grabbed the writer's name, but they were looking at miles per hour on the swing. And supposedly Lamont Wade's swing is just a really slow swing. Like he's not getting the swing through the zone very well. I don't know what that says. I've never heard anyone really talk about that as far as like bat speed, like what's your bat speed. But if he cannot get the bat around, it does make a little bit of sense to what we're watching. Give him credit. He did double against the Cubs down the line. So he turned on one and he, you know, they scored. He also made a really nice slide to score. So not all was off for Lamont Wade, but I don't know how long you can continue to go with him hitting 146. Like what is the, what is the triple A replacement level number? Like, he's way below whatever your replacement level number is. He has a minus 1.2 WAR so far through the first 40 some odd games of the season. So everything is negative on him. I just don't know how long the Giants continue to throw him out there.
Yeah. So I started looking at splits. All right. So at this point, you're better off with Wilmer Flores in the lineup to face righties, because split this season, Wilmer Flores has faced righties 104 times, 104 at bats, hitting 260 with five home runs and 27 RBIs as a right-hander, OPS plus of 104. That's significantly better than Lamont Wade Jr. But then the problem is you've got to have, like, tonight, and again, like you said, people will be listening to this, game will be over, but the issue is, like, tonight, you've got Wilmer Flores playing first base, and you want him off his feet and off his legs as much as you possibly can. So that's when Gerard Encarnacion comes into play. He's already started his rehab assignment. He can't come back until May 26th. So you're looking at, was that 14 days, 2 weeks from today, that we're recording this on Monday. His splits in his career against righties, he's a 220 hitter, but against lefties, he's a 224 hitter, and he's a right-handed batter. All of his home runs have come against righties, all eight of his career home runs, and his OPS plus against righties is 109. So you've got two options that are much better against righties than a left-handed Lamont Wade Jr. So yeah, when do you make that switch? When do you make that happen? And I know we're not even going to bring up Eldridge at this point, because Bryce Eldridge is still in Double A, still really needs to grasp the first base position. Everything we're hearing is he's getting there. But even the top 100 prospect list was updated and came out today from Major League Baseball. And Eldridge is number 21 on the list. And, you know, on those lists, they always put the expected year of, you know, their entry into Major League Baseball, when they're going to make their impact on the team. And his is still listed at 2026. So that's how far off scouts and everybody think he still is. Mm-hmm. I think we did a prediction we might see him, you know, before September, possibly in August. But that was before, you know, the season even started and we knew what the Giants were going to do. Now they're seven games over 500 and fighting for a wild card spot. We don't know. Waiver wire pickup, trade, anything can happen before the trade deadline. But yeah, I hate to say it, but it might be time to make that switch and start seeing a lot more Wilmer. And then in 2 weeks, and Encarnacion comes back, then you see a lot of him. I think you just had to give Lamont Wade Jr. a rest, take him out of the lineup. He is scuffling hard. He's still making contact. That's the thing. And he is still walking. He's still getting on base, not at the monstrous clip he had at the first half of last season. But yeah, and he's making $5 million this year, and he's an unrestricted free agent next year. So if you do waive him halfway through the season, you're not losing a ton of money. You're losing 2.5. That's not a gigantic chunk of change. Yeah, I mean, maybe this is the beginning of the shift. Maybe this is what we see tonight. I'm sure the post game, Bob Melvin's going to address it, and he's going to say, you know what? He's been having a hard time. He needed a night off. A night off against a righty, though, is kind of a red flag. That's one of those things you look at and you go, I get the night off, but unless they're facing, I haven't looked at the pitching matchups over the next couple of days, but if they're facing righties every day for this series against the Diamondbacks, I get it. I can totally see that. But still, I don't know.
Tomorrow scheduled Brandon, I don't even know how to pronounce dude's last Fought. Name. Fought?
Fought. Yeah, yeah.
P-F-A-A-D-T.
Yeah, they yeah, pronounce it
spell
Fought.
That man's last name.
Yeah, and he's a right-hander.
And And then in the third game, Eduardo Rodriguez, who is a left-hander, he is scheduled to start.
So, I mean, you could look at it and say, look, if we were going to give him a night off, he was going to get a night off against the left-hander anyways. But again, now you're kind of lining it up where are we going to see Wilmer Flores playing first base two games? But when does Casey Schmidt come back? So Casey Schmidt could
supposedly Casey Schmidt and Tyler Fitzgerald could start their rehab trips tomorrow, possibly.
Okay. So we're not going to see Casey Schmidt back probably too much before we see Encarnacion. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a red flag tonight.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I think a lot of fans probably were like, this is interesting. Yeah. Because they're seeing the same things that we are, which is that 146 batting average. And, you know, if we're being honest, I think we root for Lamont Wade and we understand the value of Lamont Wade because he does get on base and there's like a hope that he could recreate the great season that he had, but he hasn't really. If you want to look into the statistics and the analytics, you can find really good stuff, but it's not like he's been tearing the ball off of the cover and thus he deserves every opportunity to continue playing or continue getting shots.
Yeah.
I looked at the, because
we do like him.
I looked at the AAA team. I was like, gosh, do they have any random lefties who can just come out and like play some utility spots? And there's really nobody.
That's the thing. That's not Buster's game. So that's the thing too. I was thinking about that and looking at that. And I was like, this is the first big change we've had to the lineup. I mean, Willy Adames is hitting sixth tonight. Dropped him out of the two hole. So it's going to go Yaz, and then you go Chapman's hitting third, right? And then you've got Lee hitting fourth. And then Ramos hitting fifth.
Lee with his four home runs.
So it's a bizarre lineup tonight. You know, it's a little bit of a different lineup. But you're going,
They have the mighty Jake Lamb playing first base for a Sacramento age 34. And he's got a total of he almost has 100 home runs in the big leagues, but four sack right now, he's hitting a robust 231 with one.
I think they're looking at Wilmer Flores versus Jake Lamb, and they're going, yeah, we'll do fine with Wilmer until Encarnacion gets back. Jake Lamb he's in the glass case where you break in case of emergency. I don't think Jake Lamb is like, you know, plug-in guy for a week or two.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is, they're so dominantly right-handed, and we talked about this before the season even started. Like, we kind of wondered, like, are they watching waiver wire? Are they looking for some overly left-handed teams who have lefties who just really can't get on the field because, you know, that kind of thing? So I kind of wonder, you know, if they have their eye on the trade market for somebody who they could plug in to just be a left-handed hitter, because it also affects their DH situation, because, you know, Matos is the DH tonight. He's a right-handed hitter against a right-handed pitcher. And it's not like Matos' splits are off the table or anything. Like, he's, you know, he's not doing fantastically, but he'll run into one every once in a while. So that's what you're hoping for.
Well, and that's what I talked about in the preseason, you know, and during exhibition, I was talking about the whole time. The depth of this team, it's going to either, you know, if everybody stays healthy, you're golden. But when guys start going down or not performing, the depth of this team, the depth of this organization is pretty dire. When I was looking through each team and how many players they had in the top 100 prospect list, we were one of like three teams that only had one player on the entire top 100 list. So that's pretty grim. The Mariners had 9, Cubs had like 6, Dodgers had 5 or 6. Still, every year the Dodgers have 5 or 6. So
yeah,
frustrating.
Okay, let's actually, you know, we started the show off a little bit on the negative side. Just you're looking at stuff and you're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Let's go positive here. And I was wondering, Now, this is not certain that the Giants will have a position player make the All-Star team. Last year, they had Ramos on the All-Star team. And I was wondering, who's got the best shot this year for the Giants to make the All-Star team? Who is not Logan Webb or not a bullpen arm, who is actually somebody who plays every day and is in the lineup and is playing a position that has been few and far between of late for the Giants. But there are a couple guys who might have an opportunity to represent the Giants, the National League All-Stars this year.
If you would have asked me before the season started, I would have said Willy Adames, right? That would have been our best shot to have a position player. Maybe even Patrick Bailey because of his defense and if he was hitting, you know, fairly decent. But he's actually, I mean, we're talking about how bad Lamont Wade Jr. is hitting. Patrick Bailey's hitting worse. when you look at the OPS and everything else.
Yeah, Bailey, like if we just look at OPS, Bailey is hitting, Bailey's OPS is 219. Luis Matos is 228. And Casey Schmidt, you know, we like Casey. He doesn't have that many at-bats, but he was at 208. So those, they're even OBP, worse.
OBP, yeah.
Oh, sorry. OBP. Not OPS. They are getting on base less than Lamont Wade, who is hitting 145. So that just shows you,
it's crazy. All,
you know, Matos has 54 at-bats. Bailey has 105. Casey Schmidt has 23. So these guys are getting on the field and still getting on base at a worse clip than Lamont Wade, who we are saying is not even really playable today. That's how bad some of these pieces are.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is you can have a Patrick Bailey in the lineup doing that because of his defense, but Lamont Wade Jr., he's not a flashy first baseman, doesn't do anything like, you know, over the top fantastic at first base. And again, it is first base, so you're not, you know, looking for him to be anything spectacular. But if he was playing shortstop and hitting 145 with an OPS of 491, then you'd be like, well, he better be a damn good glove if he's in there every day. But you're just in that situation. So again, I would, going back to, you know, position players and All-Star game, I'm looking at two guys possibly, and one of them is Elliot Ramos, the return of Elliot Ramos to the All-Star game. OPS of 830, he's hitting 278. Oh my god, over the last couple of weeks he's hitting like 500.
He's leading the team in OPS, by the way.
Yeah, leading the team in OPS. Only has 19 runs driven in, but you know, that could change. You know, if they change up the lineup, you know, kind of mix things around a little bit, he might be able to drive in some more runs. He's got 3 stolen bases, 13 walks, 40 strikeouts. That's a lot of strikeouts for 151 at bats. But he is second in the team in doubles behind Jung-Hoo Lee with 10. He does have 7 home runs. So if you start to look at those numbers and kind of those raw numbers, there's another guy who's almost right there with him and plays a stellar right field, and that's Yaz. Mm-hmm. Not as many at bats, but he's got an 823 OPS.
Yep.
5 home runs, 17 RBIs. He walks, doesn't strike out as much. Stolen 4 bases already this season.
Second on the team in walks.
Yeah, so that's a guy, if both of those guys punch it up a little bit between now and the end of All-Star voting, I think a manager pick, I think a manager could. Do they even do that anymore? Do they even do the manager picks for the All-Star games? I'm not sure how that works. I think it's mostly voting. But if you're talking about All-Star reserves and a manager has to make it, because, you know, guys opt out and they don't go. And if they had to pick a Giant rep, like if, you know, like if Webb wasn't the guy and they had to pick a Giant rep, I think you can go, if they punch it up a little bit, you can go Yaz or you can go Ramos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yaz also leads the team in on-base percentage. So that is a really nice feather in his cap. And, you know, if he was on a Farhan Zaidi team, he's probably getting less at bats and his numbers probably don't look as great. And people will say, but then he would only be hitting righties. You'd be right, But that day in and day out consistency, I believe, is helping him this year. Whereas you play one day, you sit one day, you play two games, you sit three games, or maybe you pinch hit. That is also hard. And that, you know, that's what people have been saying, is a harder job than most understand, is just not being in there and seeing those reps every day.
Well, that was one big thing is Yaz, I mean, his biggest talk, you know, in the off season was that he, you know, it's hard knowing, you know, that he was going to play five innings and then get yanked and then not play the next day and then play five innings, get yanked and not play the next day. So, when you look at his numbers against lefties, he's hitting 200, you know, not fantastic. He only has 30 at bats against lefties this season, but still one of those guys that could punch it up a little bit still.
There's one other, there's possibly two other players. Now, mm-hmm. Matt Chapman's batting average needs to come up a little bit, but he is getting on base because he's got 30 walks.
Yeah, a ton. I mean,
and he leads the team in home runs. So those numbers are great. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent with putting balls in play because he is second on the team in strikeouts, only 2-1, Willy Adames. The other person who I kind of have my eye on, and he will have to get hot before the All-Star break. You know, we still got a couple months. That person is Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yeah.
Jung-Hoo Lee has the highest batting average. He doesn't walk as much as some of these other guys, so he doesn't have the best on-base percentage. But his OPS is also you know, fourth on the team because he does lead the team in doubles and triples. Only has four home runs, but he is hitting for extra bases. You know, I was looking at these numbers. Wilmer Flores has 7 home runs, so he's like tied for second on the team. 2 doubles.
You mean he's not legging them out?
No, it's like, you know, when he doesn't hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he's got to like do more than just jog and make a small turnaround first. He's like, oh no.
Yeah. They renamed it Doubles Alley whenever he's up. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And
he's not going to dribble in Dribbles Alley.
Yeah. And also Jung-Hoo Lee tied for run scored with Aelio with 28. So those are, you know, all of those guys, I don't know that they all have a great chance to be on the team, but a hot streak here, and you could possibly make it, sort of like how Ramos made it last year. And, you know, that thing that you said up top with him possibly making it again, that is the thing that kind of warms my heart, because I was so worried that we were going to come into this season and he was just going to go backwards. And, you know, he got off to a slow start, but he was really the one who was making things happen over this last week in a week where they weren't really making a lot of things happen offensively. He was the one person who was actually doing that. So it was good to see. All right, let's finish up this show with a couple of segments here. One of them we like to call the Player of the Week.
We just talked about him. He's hot. He is the offense right now. And Player of the Week this week goes to the great Elliot Ramos.
It's really fun when he's on. He is a fun guy to watch. He's like making diving catches out in left field too. It was fun watching him play this week.
His WRC plus this week, and I haven't seen this in a long time, was 300 because he hit 500 this week and 25 at bats too. Played all 6 games in the week, 2 home runs, 7 runs driven in. 4 runs scored. His K percentage was only 16%. Walk percentage at 8. Slugging this week was 950. Just kind of a monster week. That was good for a 0.6 F-war on the week, which is pretty awesome. Keep that up, man.
Yeah,
because we don't. This team, it's got to be. And we've seen this in the past, and I didn't think we were going to see that this year that much, but we've seen it in the past where. It needs to be more than just a guy getting hot in the lineup, because again, yesterday, a situation like that, you lose an extra inning ball game 7-6. If it's not just Ramos, if other guys are doing things, the rest of the time, the rest of the week, then instead of a 2-4 road trip where you win the series against the Cubs and you still only come back 2-4 on a 6-game road trip, if you can get the rest of the lineup to hit and kind of be cohesive together, then you're probably winning, you know, 4 or 5 games on that road trip. And then you're coming home feeling good facing the, unfortunately, hot Diamondbacks. I mean, they are a hot team right now, and they're just kind of breathing down our neck now for third place. And now the Giants are 3 games back. You know, it's funny. I look at standings after the Giants win, but after the Giants lose, I never go onto the app and look at the standings. I don't want to see. I only want to see it after we win. I don't really care. So I had to look today, because I haven't looked in 3 days because of, you know, they got swept. So I looked and I thought, I don't like to see that.
The Giants are home today, right?
Yeah. Home against Arizona for 4, I think it is. Is it 3 or 4?
It is, I have the schedule up right here. They are 3, and then they get a day off, and then they have 3 with the A's coming here.
Okay, that's good. So that's a nice little homestand with an off day in the middle. That's good. That's going to be good for the guys. They're going to be able to spend a day with their families at home on Thursday. So that'll be kind of nice to have.
And I asked just to make sure, because the Giants are 12-12 on the road, which is totally fine. You know, you play close to 500 on the road and you win, you know, the majority of your games at home, and you're going to be a pretty decent team. They are 12-5 at home. So they are a really good home team right now, though they have not played near the number of games at home as they have on the road. So that kind of should bode well if they could stay on top of that. The other thing, the Diamondbacks give up a lot of runs. The Diamondbacks have given up 208 runs this year.
Jeez.
In the NL West, obviously the Rockies, who are going to be one of the worst teams in the history of Major League Baseball. The second worst team is the Dodgers at giving up 170 runs. The Giants 156, and those Padres, those very tight, disciplined Padres, giving up 132 runs. So, you know, they're giving up on average more than one run a game than the Giants. So that is something to look forward to. And they're not scoring that many more runs than the Giants themselves. So if these games are tight, you would think that that would lean advantage Giants. Or maybe they win 2 close ones and then they get blown out in one, which kind of happens sometimes to them.
But
that's kind of interesting. And you're right. The Diamondbacks are 3 games behind the Giants for third place. But, you know, if the Giants are within 3, 4, 5 games of the Dodgers and, you know, the Padres similarly, they're competing. And that's what we wanted. And that's how. It's kind of that iron sharpens iron mentality. You know, if you're the Mets and the Phillies are just on your heels, like, you're just going to play better because you know that these guys are coming for you. Same with, you know, this is always the Red Sox and the Yankees when they were good. Even it's funny, the best two divisions in all of baseball right now, National League West and the surprising AL Central.
I saw that. Standings the other day, and I was like, I thought that's one that over the past few years they've been all kind of close to 500, you know, and I think they're winning divisions over the last couple of years by, like, you know, 7 games over 500, nothing outrageous. So
with the Twins on the streak that they're on, they have 4 teams all over 500. And they just have the White Sox in their division, who are also pathetic again this year. But yeah, it's like the next best division in baseball to the NL West. So that's interesting to see. Okay, let's end this show with Old Guy Alley. I think you got this one right.
An Old Guy Alley this time. I haven't had one in a while, but I've been having some mystery neck issues. So finally, and if you would have told me 20, 25 years ago that I would have spent a good hour on the internet yesterday researching pillows and probably a week before that, off and on researching pillows and best pillows for certain like side sleepers and all of that stuff. I would have said, you're insane. I'm never going to do that. Did that yesterday. I ordered a pillow. I'm so excited. It's coming tomorrow. I can't wait. I'm trying to get rid of this, you know, front of the neck pain, side neck pain.
Oh, man.
All that good stuff.
What is it from? Do you know what it's from?
I don't know, man. It's from being old and sleeping on a cruddy pillow. That's the thing, is I've never done research on pillows to even know as a side sleeper, like, what is the best thing for me?
Yeah.
So I'll just be like, you know, my wife will be like, here's a pillow. And I go, okay, cool. I'll use that pillow. So then I use that pillow for like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months. And then I start to get a neck cramp and I go, well, maybe I'll try a different pillow. And then we have this other pillow and I try it and it's a little bit different, a little bit better. I was doing research yesterday. If you're a side sleeper, you want it to be like 5 to 5.5 inches tall. I went and measured my pillows. They're like 8 inches tall. And I'm like, maybe that's the problem. So yeah.
I have a lot of knowledge about this. And the reason is because, you know, Crystal and I have been almost married for 5 years, but there's a time period before. So, yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I think in the time that I've known her, she has purchased, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 different pillows. Because for her, she's also got a neck thing. She was in a bad car accident
when she was younger,
so that affects her. Like, she's got really bad, like, turning radius on her neck. But she also needs like the cooling style. She's like, there's these different pillows for us.
I've seen those.
Not just how it affects her neck, but it's also the cooling aspect of it. And, you know, so all of these different things. So yeah, I've seen like, I just get the hand-me-downs. Like, she gets the pillow.
This one doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So then I just get to pick it up. And so that's how it works.
Yeah.
I do have a small old man alley. I haven't had this in a very long time, and anybody probably under the age of 40 probably doesn't even know that this exists as a beverage. I had a hankering for some V8 juice.
Oh my goodness.
When's the last time you've seen V8 juice?
The legit actual V8, it's been a long time, but I know the kids, when they were younger, there were some V8 kids drinks.
Okay, yeah, they mixed the tomato.
But the actual, I remember the V8s. You remember with the little tab that silver tab you would pull off and drink it out of the can? Yeah, those are always
been. I don't even know why I got a hankering, but it's one of those things, and this is why having your phone with you late at night, when you have a lot of time just to goof off and you're not sleepy yet, it's dangerous, can be very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, when's the last time I had a V8 juice? And then I looked it up. I wanted to look up the ingredients and all the macros and stuff. I was like,
I don't even think I'd do that.
And it was like, you know, there's more sugar in it than you realize.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, like, there's some fiber in it. So, you know, if you just have like a glass every couple of days, you're kind of fine. But the one thing is, there's a lot of sodium. So I made sure to get the low sodium one, but I wanted to get the spicy one. And so, you know, it's like, where do I buy V8 juice? Like, I looked it up and it's like, nope, your local grocery store doesn't even have it. You can go to Target and get some, but we have this thing called Amazon and you can order stuff on Amazon and they just ship it to you and you have to get out of your PJs. And so I just bought some. So now I have like 4 jugs of spicy hot.
Oh my God.
V8 juice that I
have. You tried it yet?
I had a glass today.
Yeah.
Because it's the low sodium one, not as tasty as I remember it. Yeah. So I may have to kind of do my own little ingredients and mixing and stuff. But it's fine for what I needed. It's a little refreshing.
Mix it with the Corona, and I think that's kind of like a Michelada.
There you go. I'll tell you why. This adds to the old guy alley-ness of this story. Now I know why I thought of it. You know, a movie I was watching the other night, Roadhouse.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Brad Wesley, who's the bad guy in that movie, he invites Dalton over for breakfast, and he's drinking. I think he's actually drinking a Bloody Mary.
Okay.
But yeah. I saw it as like, oh, I haven't had VA juice in forever. And that, I think that's how I thought about it. So there you go. Roadhouse should have got it. They should have got some sort of a piece of my Amazon charge.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess the biggest question is, do you now regret having four big jugs of V8?
We'll see. We'll see if I get through them.
Give it to the kids.
No, they will be like, no, what is this? It'll be like foreign to them. They would
tell them it's a TikTok challenge to drink it.
That would be good.
Then they'll drink it.
Chugging V8 juice.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. That is it from here. We'll be back next week. I think Brian and I will be on tomorrow talking Warriors and Valkyries. WNBA season starts this weekend. The Warriors are kind of in a must-win game tonight against Minnesota. If they don't win this game, again, it might be adios muchachos for the season of the Warriors. So, but we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. And Brad and I will be back next week. So that is it. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.